ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Told you there are three easy ways to listen.
Yeah.
ESPN 1000, which is AM 1000. Make sure you're in the P1 Club. You set us number one. We're on FM now, 100.3 HD2. You probably have HD radio and you don't even know it. Go to 100.3, click up one spot, and you'll go to 100.3 HD2. Now on Crystal Clear FM. It's really good, especially if you're in the downtown area, maybe in some rough spots that we have with the AM side of things. And then, of course, download that ESPN Chicago app. And shout out to everyone watching us in the old First Midwest Bank studio on State Street, but the new camera angles now that I'm still getting used to.
Have they tweaked those at all? You still
No, today the Twitchers were pointing out that as I was on my LeBron Giannis rant, my nose was flaring out. My eyes bulge, my nose flares, right?
And you get a couple of veins in your neck start to do some freaky things.
It's fantastic.
LeBron. I think, is there somebody it's else not, other than it, LeBron? That's...
It's not LeBron. It's what's said about LeBron.
I just mean like when he's the topic of conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it gets nose flare.
I appreciate him. I appreciate him. I appreciate what he's done. What he did in 16 was incredible. He went home. He did it back in his hometown. He came back 3-1 against a historically great team.
You just rail against the desire for people to make the comparison to Michael.
Yes. Oh, look at LeBron peed in his backyard. He's better than Jordan. Like, that's what the takes are. Like,
I pee in my backyard.
Yeah, yeah. It's just crazy. So, and I rage against that. Now, yes, I'm being hypocritical because I'm bringing up LeBron, just like I hate when people bring up LeBron better than Michael when the story isn't even involved.
Who brought up LeBron? Was it someone on Twitch or Twitter or something?
No, I did.
Well,
that's what I was thinking last night. You saw, I don't know if you saw on the text chain, if you've opted out too, like Abdallah.
No, I was busy.
It was the best.
I was busy.
I want you to be happy.
My dog's been pooping blood.
It was a silent day off. Eid Mubarak to everybody out there that celebrates. I looked down at my phone during the NBA finals and it was nothing.
Look, we want you to be happy. No right. one is angry yeah. that you left,
no,
nor
no,
do
no.
we care really.
No. There was no party, there was no mourning, there was just another day.
Yeah.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah. You weren't like I sent it, and even Merkin, who always rails against LeBron, was defending LeBron. Whoa, Sylvie. Because I said what he did yesterday. It's my opinion, was better than anything LeBron has done in the finals.
So. All right.
332-3776 is our phone number. I was confused because I was watching all three games on. Again, NBA, two Chicago baseball games. That Sox game was really interesting most of the game. Sox took an early lead. Twins would come back.
I was a little surprised to see Kopech give up the dinger.
Right. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
He's human.
Right.
He's not a cyborg. He's actually a human.
Because one thing I was thinking about, again, is Keuchel is okay. He's good. I mean, but I was about to say, hey, Kopech needs to start one of these playoff games. Maybe he's your fourth if you don't use him in relief before then. So then I was surprised because I was thinking that as I was looking over at the Sox game. And then sure enough, as I was thinking of that, Kopech gave up a home run. So that game went back and forth. And then it was, I think, 5-4 Twins.
You are never out of it. Even if you're trailing, when you get a chance to face that Twins bullpen.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a dumpster fire extraordinaire.
And what are they, 12-3 now against the Twins?
Something like
that. Do you remember when Chuck Garfine was scared of the Twins in April?
He was peeing himself.
He said that he was nervous when the Twins were, they're 15, whatever they are. It's 12-3, I think, in 15 games against the Twins.
I think he's got a different perspective on the Twins at this
point. So Vaughn comes through, Billy Hamilton comes through, Abreu hits the home run. Boom, the White Sox game is put to bed. They win another thriller. Everyone having a great time. It's a party on the South Side. They have their largest lead at 9.5 games right now.
Like you said, it's a party right now.
It is a party. Guys are going to be coming back. The pitching's really good. You know, I want to play in a little bit.
Lance Lynn signs an extension.
Yes.
I mean, there's really nothing. I can't. Maybe their bullpen makes you a little itchy and scratchy. You can build the bridge. Maybe there's a couple of potholes on that bridge when you try to build it to Hendricks.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it's a parade. Daily parade.
So I'm focused on the NBA game. I'm browsing over at this close White Sox game. And then I'm texting Jesse as I during a commercial or something. I'm like, hey, what have I missed in this Cubs game? Apparently not much. I think it was 5-1 when I texted him. And like, here's another Cubs game that Kyle Hendricks doesn't start. It basically gets away from them, very uninspired offensively, lackluster bats. I think I saw Javi make another error or two on a throw to first base. But then next thing you know,
little did you know,
they came back in the ninth.
And this is the turning point.
This is
step one towards greatness.
Step one.
Yes. When you can.
We've had about 8 of those.
When you can come back from a 6-1 deficit in the ninth inning as their bullpen, too, is a dumpster fire. You know, there's errors, there's walks, there's all kinds of garbage going on. This is the springboard to possibly an NL Central title for you guys.
Yes, but not even the comeback got my attention as much as Jesse texting me about Chris Bryant being pulled again, because that's what he was informed. He goes, hey, he made a sliding catch earlier in the game, and they've pulled him.
It was a good catch.
It was
another example of why teams should be interested in Chris Bryant, because I think he had a catch a couple days ago in center field where he laid out as well.
But it is. You're right. And it's Abdallah, you'll attest to this. It's the double-edged sword that is Chris Bryant these days, because it seems like every time he makes a diving catch, he either hurts his side or he suffers hamstring fatigue.
What is hamstring fatigue? Aren't all of our hamstrings fatigued?
My hamstrings are fatigued
fatigued?
I wake up and my hamstrings are fatigued.
Isn't every hamstring a little fatigued? Come on.
I will say that was the funniest thing I saw last night. What is hamstring fatigue?
What are we doing here?
I don't think you release that, though, do you? Isn't that basically doing what the
Just
Bears did with the Cutler thing? Remember when Cutler goes down?
Did him no favor.
Did him no favor.
Hey, go fend for yourself there.
You know what the fan base is thinking about KB these days.
Yeah.
For as much as he's given you, you look at Cubs Twitter during a baseball game, you see what's going on, and then you guys have the nerve to release that he's had hamstring fatigue. That only makes it worse, doesn't it?
They should have just said we're benching him because he's hustling too hard and we're trying to trade him.
This is why I told you guys, obviously my prediction was wrong, but like, what are you waiting for? Move. You know, what do you want? What do you want? Give me something reasonable. Let's go. Let's make a deal. Let's do this.
Well, what if they're not offering what they want to offer?
Okay, or what if the offers are fine, but they're holding out for some sort of, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow?
I don't know. The 31st.
I will say this, though. He played in the field in the All-Star game.
Yes, I know he did. I know. Here's the question that I have, though, that I'm confused about. Does he keep getting banged up? Or is it what Abdallah said, that they're trying to protect this asset and he's playing too hard and he's diving and they're making, and Jed's on the phone to the dugout. You know what? He's going to get hurt again.
Well, don't put him out there.
That's my point. So shouldn't they just then sit him like NBA teams did with, didn't AD do this in New Orleans?
I think so.
Where he didn't play until you trade him. Like, this is nonsense what's going on. With what, one game, he's got a sore side. The next, or is it that he has these little tweaks and he has to come out? I need clarification on this. What is going on?
Look, if you're the Mets who beat the Reds 7-0 today, or you're somebody else, but you have what, 9 days left? 8 days? 9 days left?
Yeah, it's the 21st today, right?
Oh, okay, I mean, like, what are we waiting for right now? We're gonna wait. Oh, you know, we gotta wait until the deadline. I think they, with no knowledge, just my spider senses, I think there's no doubt that they pulled him out at the, maybe he has a little tweak, but again, he played in the All-Star game in the field. I've seen him make a couple of diving catches. Do I believe that he's got a hamstring that is keeping him from playing more than I believe that this is the organization's doing to put him on the sidelines so that they're not risking an injury for him, trying to get him dealt? I go with what's behind door number two. I don't think Chris wants to sit. Do you?
I don't think so. I don't think. But I don't know how that helps the Cubs either. Where there's a side, and then there's hamstring fatigue. Wouldn't that make the other team leery? Why not just say, unless Chris would rebel against that from sitting? like here, and to your point about make the trade now, Steve Cohen, he is the very outward owner of the Mets. Very wealthy. The new owner, he likes to tweet too. And the Mets are the team that all these national guys and Jesse keep circling saying, that's probably the team where something's going to happen with. I think Lindor is hurt. Obviously, DeGrom is out again. All the other teams are kind of coming back.
Listen,
on them
and there's a financial component to this as well. What does Chris make? Let's just say roughly $20 million. You're going to have to pick up $8 million of that salary, right?
Unless the Cubs are willing to pick up the rest and get a better prospect because of it.
Like for a team that got rid of Yu Darvish because of money issues, I find it hard to believe.
They had to get under the tax,
right? That's true, but it's also...
So Steve Cohen, though, about why you don't rush into this, Steve Cohen tweeted out a day ago, let's play GM again. Make a trade now and pay a big price or wait until closer to the deadline and pay a reasonable price. They're not, the Cubs are demanding a high price. They're not, the Mets aren't going to give them what they want now. So the Cubs' best situation is let the Mets continue to struggle with DeGrom, who knows what his future is, and to hope that they can get what they're willing to get.
How much
instead of just conceding right now there's 10 days to go?
I get it, but like, or if you're just deciding that you're not going to make a trade if you lose the next however many games, but you're in first place, you have a 3-game lead in the East if you're the Mets,
right? And that shrunk a bit,
right? I mean, you get the Phillies on your back, you've got the Braves 4.5 back, you got the Nationals 5.5 back. The NL East is up for grabs,
right?
I would say.
Right.
Well, maybe the sooner you put Chris Bryant in your lineup, the better chance you have of winning a title.
Right. Of course, but if the Mets aren't willing to give Jed what he wants, is Jed supposed to say okay?
No, I'm responding to the billionaire owner of the Mets who's saying, "Well, we don't have to give up as much." Okay. By the time you get there, you may be in third place behind the Phillies and the Braves if it goes sideways.
No, I understand that, but if I'm Jed, I'm not hearing what I want to hear, what's the rush? There's 10 days still for maybe another third baseman to go out. Maybe another player goes out.
Okay.
Maybe a team all of a sudden. Now, like you've said, team could drop out. Other teams could find the need for Chris Bryant. What's the rush of accepting something when there's no deadline?
I got a guy who has had nicks and cuts, and quite possibly the next time he goes out there may find himself with a hamstring pull or an oblique. And then how tradable is he? Like, I can play the back and forth game with you. I understand what you're saying.
And that's
but
the confusion I have over the Cubs. Are the Cubs waiting for Chris Bryant to dive so they can continue to pull him out of games and fake injuries? Or is Chris Bryant suffering these nicks and cuts and muscle fatigue?
Ask Jed.
I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm so damn confused.
Why I say make the deal.
My hamstring's fatigued.
You can't be saying to David Ross.
You better go to sleep, right?
No, I'm just saying, like, could you imagine?
That's not him saying that.
I didn't say it was. I'm just saying, when you hear someone say hamstring fatigue, the first thing I think of is, my fingers hurt.
Well, Chris,
from Happy Gilmore.
Did you pull it?
Yeah.
And so then I then take the my fingers hurt from Happy Gilmore and you say,
my hamstrings fatigued.
I think the point that Sylvie was saying too is they're making him look bad.
They're making everybody look bad.
No,
like if you're
thing.
The Cubs and you're trying to trade him.
Or does he have it? Did they go to him and say, what's wrong? Well, my hamstring hurts. Well, did you pull it? No.
I don't even apply.
So what
is
it? It's tired.
I would have never said entire life, I pulled my hamstring on a number of occasions.
Needs a little
I never said my hamstring was
fatigued.
I mean, and again, who's
to blame for that? Like, who's doing this?
Don't believe Chris Bryant just walked into the.
My
hamstring's fatigued.
The hamstring went out, partied a little too hard, and now it didn't get its nap.
He doesn't party. Yeah,
hamstring doesn't.
No,
party.
The hamstring does.
Hamstring
he might not,
party.
But he doesn't know what the hamstring does when he's sleeping.
Can we talk to the hamstring? Can we put in a request for the hamstring?
Call.
My fingers hurt.
Let me put in a request with the Cubs for the
hamstring.
You're saying, too, you're just advertising to potential trade partners.
We've got a soft player.
Or that I've got a hamstring fatigue.
Yeah, that I've got a guy whose hamstring could go at any time if you trade for him. This doesn't help anybody. It's not helping Chris Bryant. It's not helping, I would think, the market of teams wanting Chris Bryant.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get the important
people in a room.
Let's sit down at a table and let's make a deal and let's not play this whole stupid charade. We got to wait till the trade deadline before we're actually going to make a deal. Make one now.
All right. And if you are a hamstring and you're listening to the show and you want to call in and tell us how sometimes you feel, 332-3776.
Nothing's worse than a hamstring. Hamstring lingers the entire second half of the season.
I would like to talk to a hamstring. 332-3776. And you'll never guess who the White Sox are scouting. We'll give you that answer next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
See, I don't know how it helps anyone with announcing these little things. I brought up the Luol Deng press release from 2009. How I remember a Luol Deng press release from 2009. A lot of people in town, including myself, at one time thought Luol Deng was soft, and the Bulls did nothing to dispute that. This was before Tibbs came to the scene and then played him every single minute of every single game.
And he handled it well.
He did. So this is 2009, all right? He's got this foot injury, and the Bulls keep insisting he's fine. And they put in a press release, quote, "He has been restricted from high-level activity since February 28th, team physician Brian Cole was quoted as saying. At this point, he will undergo, quote, active rest, meaning that he will be encouraged to challenge himself physically. And if symptoms remain minimal, he will be allowed with an expeditious return to play." And he kept insisting, "I'm hurt." Like they're like,
"Hey, I want to play, but I can't do it."
And then it turned out he had a stress fracture. Mm-hmm. Like the Bulls or the Cubs here, to me, by like every time he's a sore side, a fatigued hamstring, they're making, I think, him look worse, and they're devaluing
Abdallah
their
found
trade
the
shift.
Definition of a strain or a fatigued hamstring as well, didn't you, Adam?
Well, yeah, tired hamstring.
I mean, look, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago is where you can interact with a bunch of great listeners, great fans of the shows. Apparently, out of the people we have watching today, about 95% of them have a medical degree.
Oh, yeah. A lot of doctors.
You know,
a lot of doctors.
There's two ways that you can get a fatigued hamstring,
neurological fatigue, obviously, which we hope Chris Bryant does not have. We hope that everything's good with his neurologicals. And then also overtraining, where you run 6 to 7 days a week for up to 50 to 75 miles and race on average every 2 weeks, which...
He's doing cross country now in his spare time?
I'm not sure that he will actually walk a mile in a week.
Yeah, he's doing marathons apparently at night.
The point is, there's really no chance for him to suffer hamstring fatigue.
The average soccer player runs how many miles in a game?
A million.
What about a baseball player?
30 feet.
Oh, look at this. Elmer is calling from Bryant's pants.
What?
He is a hamstring. Someone called in claiming that
Western suburbs or is that like that's northern?
Listen, Sonny, this is Elmer. I'm 74 years old. I'm trying to keep quiet because Chris is sleeping here in the hotel. I got down into the minibar there. That can be tiring sometimes, along with standing in the grass all game in the outfield. What else would you guys like to know?
Wait, so not only did we get a hamstring to call the show,
we got the hamstring to call the show. Yeah,
he's a P1.
Yeah,
P1.
That's me. I've been listening on the Alexa app here that Chris has. He had it on, you know, the thunderstorm noise to keep him sleepy. But
you know Elmer, you're going to catch hell from his dad.
Me and his dad go for drinks all the time when we're on the road. He goes to sleep, and me and his dad, we go and get about a three-finger pour of some nice scotch, share a cigar.
Are you going to be, or do you anticipate being in the lineup tonight?
I don't know. I ran out of them Blue Chews, your Croatian seller you guys have in the middays gave me before the trip. So if he can send me a couple before the game tonight, maybe I can get started.
See, I thought instead of a Scotch guy, Elmer, hearing your voice, I thought you were more of a bourbon guy.
Well, it depends on the mood. Sometimes it's bourbon, sometimes it's Scotch, and other times, you know, when Chris is feeling fatigued sometimes, you know, we got to go have a nice little Chardonnay and calm him down. Yeah, I try to rock.
What type of food do you prefer?
Baby cradle.
What type of food do you prefer?
Oh, well, he's into a lot of this healthy food, and that bothers me a lot. I think I'd be a little stronger if we went out and had a burger every now and then.
Is this Chef Hans?
You know, a man can only eat so much
doesn't
kale.
Doesn't sound as sweaty.
Well, I got to tell you, Elmer, this is a true honor. We have had some of the biggest names. You know, you think of Charles Barkley.
Yep.
You think of Mike Tyson's been inside the first Midwest
Floyd
Banks.
Mayweather.
Yep. Floyd, Chris Bryant's hamstring.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, probably the largest factor of why I'm so exhausted all the time is I've been a Detroit Lions fan my whole life.
And then you were from
and now
Vegas.
We got a guy trying to bite kneecaps and talking about kneecap soup. His name's Campbell's, you know. I think they're going to come out with that flavor.
All right, Chris, Brian's hamstring.
Thanks, Elmer.
All right, take care, fellas.
Anyway, we've done some cool things in this business. We've never interviewed a hamstring.
Almost 15 years. Could we?
I think that's the same. Who was the referee we interviewed after a very controversial game one time?
The big guy?
We interview like a hockey
muscles?
Referee, Abdallah? To me, that reminded me.
The rules expert.
Yeah, the rules expert. Right, yeah. About like when the puck crosses the line.
Right.
I don't know if you're right. I think that Chris Bryant's hamstring enjoys Olive Garden a little more.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so you... Bourbon hamstring?
Yeah, I think it's more of a bourbon hamstring.
It's a bourbon hamstring, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and he is limping, perhaps, because he's got a stress fracture in his foot.
Yeah, he's fatigued.
Just like Lou Aldang.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's right. Yeah. You can't play basketball in your beach shoes.
Let me play you this. This is Jesse Rogers from earlier today. The White Sox are watching the Cubs. Take a listen to Jesse on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yesterday at the Cubs game here in St. Louis, there were half a dozen scouts in the stands, okay? The Mets had a scout here, not a surprise. The Phillies had a scout here, not a surprise. The White Sox had not one, but two scouts in the stands watching the Cubs and Cardinals last night. Not one, but two out of six or seven that were here. Now, I don't think they were here for Chris Bryant. I don't think they were here for Baez or Rizzo. I think they were here for the guys you just mentioned, Tapera, Chafin. I doubt they're here for Kimbrel. But that's who was in the stands. Now, teams don't have a lot of scouts these days. So I took notice when there were two White Sox scouts here. And I don't think they're scouting the Cardinals, unless maybe it's a peripheral player. The Cardinals are not really selling the way the Cubs are.
I think Rick Hahn is going to be active.
Now, I'm not saying five guys are going to be... you know, with joining the Sox next week, but there's going to be one or two relievers. And these scouts got to see both Tapera and Kimbrel last night. I talked to Chafin yesterday. He's doing the whole, I'm trying to block it all out, but he knows he's going to be traded. Maybe he gets in the game tonight. So if two scouts are watching the Cubs, I imagine there's a few watching some other teams. So think about which Cubs could end up on the South side. I think it's those relievers.
Mm. Makes a lot of sense. And the Cubs should be able to cash in with those guys.
I think it was also a seminar on how not to play. So, I mean, just in general.
So two scouts.
We send our scouts to Cubs games to show them how not to play.
Well, they came back.
Well, they left in the eighth inning.
Oh, the Sox scouts?
Yeah, they left. They saw all they needed to see.
They saw Tapera strike out two.
And gone. See ya.
All right. 312-332-3776. Much more coming up. Plus, remember, football is back in just a matter of days. We're counting down the days till training camp with Waddle's most important Bears list. We'll give you that information at 4. But coming up next, it's the always enjoyable Waddle's World.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, it's always weird around here.
There's
weird
had
a conversation with Chris Bryant's hamstring. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Two things real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, we had a listener contact us and remind us of the name of the NHL rules expert that we talked to.
Claude Beaver. Yeah. Very good by Nick, who remembered. He's a P1. He always was listening.
I recall that caused us a little bit of trouble.
It's right when Good Karma acquired us, and we love them. Congratulations to Craig Karmazin and all of our ESPN Milwaukee teammates, too. Craig is a part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
But he had just taken over, and he's like, what the hell do these people do? And we were interviewing Claude Beaver. And he's like,
he's an NHL rules specialist. Why did we need him? There was a
controversy, a Hawks game, I believe, or some sort of a rule interpretation that we needed. And so we contacted former rules expert. You know how all the networks.
Yeah, he's great. He sounded a little bit like Pulley, too, didn't he? A little bit like Pulley.
I am told Chris Bryant's hamstring was not Carmen. I'm shocked by that.
Big fan of the Olive Garden.
I'm shocked by that as well.
I would have said to you it would have been his best impression because I couldn't even hear a tinge of Carmen in Chris Bryant's hamstring.
I thought it was. So then what's the second thing? Do you want to get into
the... Yeah, go ahead.
Another hat tip to a listener who alerted us of this. I guess if you go to your Mean Mercedes Instagram account, he has scrubbed all the White Sox stuff on his Instagram account.
What does that mean? All the cool kids.
Well, you know that.
Jordan Howard did this. Instagram.
You scrub it.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's getting traded?
Or that he wants out. Well, then let me add context. On his, the only window he's got on his story, it's a one thing, one tile window that it goes through. Whatever the term is. On his story, it just says El Retiro. Which means retire in Spanish.
No.
And then it's the emoji of a thinking person. Like a So is he contemplating retiring?
There's also a park in Spain called El Retiro Park. Maybe he's considering a vacation to Spain.
There's just like a random park you can hang out in.
Yeah.
Why would you go to Spain just to hang out?
Maybe he wants to go on vacation. I don't know.
He's in the middle of the minor league season. You're not going on vacation.
He's mad because he's in the minor leagues. He'd like to vacation in the major leagues, actually.
Well, have him call Adam Eaton and maybe they can have a discussion. I don't know. I mean, look, I wish him the best, but things seem to be going quite well on the South Side without his service.
Look, he settled, but he did make a couple of adjustments and started, what is he batting, like 270-something with about 8 or 9 home runs. He fueled them in April. But I don't think his numbers were terrible, even though he slumped because they were so high. But then they needed a more flexibility position-wise, and he can't play catcher.
No.
He can't play third base.
Nope.
Maybe he could play some first base, not well, but...
By the way, did you see Patrick Wisdom hit his 14th home run the other day?
It's amazing.
Now, he's got two fewer. I sent you this text. He's got two fewer home runs than Chris Bryant has this year in approximately 175 less at-bats.
We should get a call from Patrick Wisdom's core.
Wisdom's bicep?
I was going to say core. The core's got to work,
okay.
You know?
Yeah. We've had phone calls from a lot of... I think we could equate them to body parts over the course of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One specific one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's whatever that means. We'll see if there's a comment from Tony La Russa. One of his favorite players is your mean Mercedes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if he has a comment.
I highly doubt one of the White Sox reporters will be like, hey, Tony, have you seen your mean's Instagram?
I think they're going to say, though, you know, on his Instagram account, he is asking if he should retire, or maybe he could be hinting that he's contemplating. Has he contacted the organization and, you know, made mention to any of this, or is this new to you?
Does Tony have Twitter?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Whether he's running it, you know, Tony's very active with, like, anti-cruelty societies.
Right.
Very big advocate for pets. Taking care of the right way. Adoption, I believe, mm-hmm. as well.
So he uses his Twitter account to promote that?
I think he's always used the Twitter account to promote
that. I didn't know if Tony was on Twitter.
Yeah.
This was a story from the other day. Tokyo 2020 organizing committee chief won't rule out a last-minute cancellation of the Olympics. Are we getting close to that being a significant possibility?
Well, isn't Friday the opening ceremonies?
I think so. And by the way, I think Zach's on his way.
Yes, he is. That was great
news.
I can't wait. We get more basketball, I hope. I mean, I don't want it to get canceled.
I thought you guys were both making a really good point about Zach LaVine's experience in the Olympics, meaningful games.
Right.
He hasn't probably played in a ton of those, especially the last few years here in Chicago.
Especially if he gets a lot of run.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just some guy who's coming in garbage time. His role had been increasing throughout the preseason. And I think they're all going to find out that he's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Do you see also, we debunked this a few days ago, an Irish gymnast was jumping on the Olympic bed cardboard, on the cardboard bed to debunk the anti-sex fake news story.
Right. A lot of you got caught.
I didn't get caught.
No. So they were accusing me of that.
Oh.
But I didn't get it from Instagram. I got it from
the New York Times.
Real newspapers.
I thought you got it from the New York Times.
I think CNN reported it too.
Mississippi State football coach Mike Leach looks beyond the 12-team playoff model. Personally, I'd like to see 64.
There you go.
I love it.
A little NCAA tournament football style.
He was asked if 12 teams is enough.
It's nuts.
It is nuts. Leach said today it's never enough. But I'll tell you what, he said, Mark Keenum, our president, he's on that committee, so I know they're in good hands. I think the part is outstanding. I think 12 teams is a huge step in the right direction. I personally would like to see 64, and you could map it out pretty easily. By the way, didn't Dabo say, no, we don't need to expand it because we don't have enough good teams.
There's not enough good teams, and my guys don't want to play an extra game. Yeah, you scared. Yeah, you got your ass beat by Ohio State. You scared.
Wow.
You scared.
Yeah.
And then there's a report today also, the Houston Chronicle is reporting that Texas and Oklahoma want to join the SEC.
Do you want them?
Yeah, come on over to the party.
Really?
Beat their ass in the Big 12, beat their ass in the SEC. It doesn't matter.
If I'm Texas and Oklahoma, why would you... Especially with everything expanding,
right.
why wouldn't you want to dominate your own?
Can Missouri go back?
Why again? I don't know, but I'm just saying, why would you want to join the SEC where you win the division, you get into the you get an automatic bid into the playoffs? You're just you've invited yourself into the Tiger's den, the Lion's den.
I think the Big 12 is a good conference, though. Still, isn't it? I know it's not the SEC.
Well, the SEC has their own network. The Longhorns do have their own network.
Yeah, the Longhorns. I think the Longhorns actually make more money than any college football program out there.
They have their own network, and the SEC does have their own network as well. I don't know. Maybe they want more marquee games. I don't know. I figured the Big 12 has enough marquee games as it is.
I'm just asking you if in fact they expand this playoff situation, okay? Which they are. They're going to, and you get an automatic in. By winning the Big 12.
Right.
Why are you then deciding to go to the SEC where you could get your ass beat by three or four teams on a yearly basis?
Right.
It's going to make your quest for a spot in the playoffs.
You win your conference,
difficult.
You're in. Yes.
I don't get it.
It's got to be what you always say, follow the money.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of following the money, you know who had a good day today indirectly? Roquan Smith. You know why? Sources are reporting that San Francisco 49ers middle linebacker Fred Warner is agreeing to a 5-year, $95 million extension.
But
with $40.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
He was a third-round pick back in 2018. And that doesn't stop there. Colts and Darius Leonard are working on a very lucrative contract extension well.
So they're setting the market.
Yes.
So this is good for Roquan, but is it good for the Bears?
Well, that's a different question.
Well, because the Bears now are going to, the market is going to be set on what a really good player at that position gets.
Yes.
And now that's more money that the Bears don't have. And they've got they've got all these guys. They still need to get Allen Robinson signed.
Well, there's a good article I think we're going to discuss later as well about him potentially being somebody that people are still asking the question, would you trade him?
Instead, you are paying Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, what, a combined $17 million. You're paying Jimmy Graham what?
Nine.
You're paying Eddie Jackson what? You're paying Tariq Cohen what? Nine. Instead of paying Allen Robinson and Roquan Smith.
Okay, this is the point, though. You know the salary cap is going up.
It's going to continue to go back up,
barring another pandemic or something horrible that we don't want to have happen. So there will be some flexibility going forward. I do believe that there will be an opportunity for them to sign Roquan Smith, which they're going to have to do, because I believe if Roquan has another year this year the way he played last year, I think what you're going to find is that he's going to be in that discussion with Fred Warner and Darius Leonard and Bobby Wagner, because he has the potential to be that damn good. I do believe that their cash situation, I believe, will get a little bit better. Remember, after this year, $10 million for Andy Dalton's coming off. You know, Akeem Hicks is, I believe, in the final year of a big deal. You may be able to rework some other things as well. So, well,
is this his fourth year, Roquan Smith? And then, do they have him under control for two more years?
I believe so.
So they have him this year and next year.
Didn't they already, they announced they picked up his fifth year option, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, I would assume. I mean,
that would tell you exactly where his contract situation is. So, as I was scrolling
I'm like 99% this is his fourth year, right?
Roquan is
18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
And then now 21.
This will be his fourth year.
Right.
He came
the same time as Khalil Mack.
Yeah. So the point is, though, is some guys that are at his position, some of the upper echelon guys at his position are now starting to sign big contracts. The market is set for him. You're right. Good for Roquan. A bit of a short-term problem for the Bears because of their cap issues.
And remember, even when you thought it was a slam dunk signing Roquan out of college, it wasn't a slam dunk.
That's true.
So it wasn't even easy when these guys get slotted. You wonder where that's going to go.
I have some really weird stories coming up. And, of course, it's Wednesday, and that means Florida or Ohio. That's next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah! I love when people make up words and then they make them real.
But Yurko, we used to call it the Yurktionary.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to do. Don't read it yet. I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Do you guys think that you, and I want the Twitch, because Twitch can see you guys, so if you want to take a look at Waddle and Sylvie, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, I want to know, do you guys consider yourself Zaddies?
I don't know what it is. Zaddies.
No.
Is that a dad that takes Xanax?
I do.
Well, that makes me a zaddy.
No, you're a zaddy. You're a zanny daddy. That's
zaddy
different.
Danny.
That's
okay.
Different.
It'd be a zanny daddy.
You're a zanny daddy. That's a little different.
I'm not a zaddy. No.
Zaddies.
I don't know what a zaddy is. Is that a fatty daddy?
No, now you can read.
Before the sentence, Zac Efron is such a zaddy would be grammatically incorrect. Well, now it's not. Dictionary.com added more than 300 new words as 2020 reshaped and expanded our vocabulary. The extensive list included the term zaddy, which refers to an attractive man. Definitely not.
I'm definitely not a zaddy. Two guys,
why is zaddy?
Zero zaddy.
Amongst the newly added slang is oof, synonymous with yikes, and blank show as well, honorably mentioned for People's Choice 2020 Word of the Year.
Yeah.
The latest update to our dictionary continues to mirror the world around us. John Kelly, the managing editor for Dictionary.com, said in a press release, "It's a complicated and challenging society we live in, and language changes to help us grapple with it." what words do you believe should be added to the dictionary that you use that you don't think are? Like, I had never heard of Zaddy. Had you?
Yes.
You had?
Yeah.
What other word out there do you think that Sylvie and I would have no idea what it means that you use pretty commonly? Do you use Zaddy commonly?
I don't use Zaddy commonly.
Are you looking for like slang or are you looking for real stuff?
Yes. Well, that's what I mean. Slang becomes
real, right?
That's
real
the point stuff. Of the story is that does. It has become a real story. Can't think of anything?
Mm-mm. Is ain't considered a real word? I know not because it's not a, it's not two words combined into one. But it's still a word that a lot of people use.
I ain't going to believe that Chris Bryant's hamstring is fatigued.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? You know what I'm saying?
Like ain't that the truth.
It's used a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's used quite a bit.
What about no cap?
What does that mean?
No cap.
No lie? No cap.
Yes. Look at you, Waddle.
You know what? I have two nephews. I'm the godfather to my nephew, Brock, and then he's got an older brother, Jack.
Brock sounds like he would say no cap.
But they were with us in South Carolina. They always do. I love them dearly. One plays football at Yale. The other one's going to Georgetown to play football. They're good athletes. They're good kids. They think that they're the hippest two cats on the planet.
Oh, you know what Abdallah loves to use is drip.
Yes.
Fresh drip.
That means
fresh stuff, like, fresh product, mm-hmm. right?
Not just clothing, but anything that's new.
Anything that you're wearing that's new. Yeah.
Would you say I've got some fresh drip on?
No, you wear the same stuff.
I mean, that's you're wearing a sweat-stained visor.
What I've seen a thousand times.
Well,
this I could be wearing like from Cintas. I could have a Cintas or Dick's uniforms, thing on.
How does that work?
I don't know.
I'm saying that there's a company called Dick's Uniforms.
Is there?
Yeah, like Chris Bryant's hamstrings. No. I just rotate them. Like, I'll change the different color shorts. Like, today I've got, like, light blue shorts and the blue Lululemon, top. Tomorrow I'll go with gray shorts and the black Lululemon shirt, and then I'll reverse them. I mean, like, why am I? I'm 54 years old. Who gives a rat's ass what I wear?
The only thing I notice is your alumni jersey that you wear, or the alumni pullover.
It's warm.
The point is we're together every day.
Yeah.
I don't notice what you're wearing. I really don't.
Yeah.
You wear shorts.
Stop staring at me.
I'm not.
I
said I'm not noticing.
Quit looking at my shirt.
The best today is on the promo video, though, where Waddle was fixing his hair.
No, I said you were, okay, you go, okay, let's shoot this. And I go, well, let me fix my hair. So I took my visor off and tried to run my hand through my hair. I put my visor back on. It looked worse.
It looked the same.
Your
hair looks the same every day with a visor.
The nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Teen driver swerves to miss a squirrel and crashes into the Lincoln Historic Family House.
Ooh, wow.
Where was this? Yeah, we go to Hingham, Mass.
Oh, really? Okay.
A historic house built in 1650 by the great-grandfather of President Abraham Lincoln has been wrecked by a teenager driver crashing into it to avoid a squirrel. The Samuel Lincoln House on North Street in the town of Hingham, Massachusetts, was badly damaged when a 19-year-old crashed into the front of his historic home on the morning of July 5th.
I don't think that this is as rare as you think. I bet you all the time.
Swerve to miss a squirrel
and you go into
a house?
Yes, or like go into something bad. Like you're swerving to preserve the life of an animal.
I would do that as well.
To have something worse happen.
I just didn't know that Abraham Lincoln's granddaddy's house was that close to the street.
I know, it's crazy.
All right, that's
all right. All right, coming up in 2 short minutes, let's talk some football. We'll reset what's going on today, what you need to know, but then let's get into some football. We've got a football party we want to throw, and then we'll get to Waddle's list as we enter the top 5 most important Bears. We're back in 2 minutes.